top of a lantern.
Hello and welcome to Life Talk with Marietta. I am Marietta, and it's a very cold, chilly evening, but we have very hot topics for you tonight. From our series, Blame It on Jack. And we all have a Jack in us, some more than others, and it's about the big blaming game. So, but just as life goes on, remaining in that pattern is not cute, and we're experiencing this every single day. How it's going to unfold in our adult life, we're discussing tonight. Very, very excited to introduce my guest here in the studio, Norma Giannatasio, Life Talk co-host and writer for the Healing Mind magazine. Good evening, Norma. How
Good
are you?
Good evening, Marietta. I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Art Kuhl, he's one of the writers for the Healing Mind magazines. Good evening, Art.
Good evening, Marietta. It's a joy and a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Art, for coming. And of course, our Dr. Rich, naturopathic physician and friend. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening, Fräulein. I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes. And before we get started, I like to share a couple of words from our sponsors. Very happy holidays from abetterviewcleaning.com. They're celebrating their 25th year in business, and they're very happy to serve you. Also, the healingmindmagazine.com is a digital global platform to be seen, heard, and recognized. Showcase your business, tell your stories, live your talents. Contact us today or tomorrow at 203-505-3660 for more information. Also, you want to be part of the Life Talk podcast series and the HealingMindMagazine.com or interviews? Well, we have more information for you by contacting me, Marietta, 203-505-3660. Well, that
and
is...
can I?
Say... Oh, you want to speak
like
now,
and
doctor.
Follow us on Facebook, Marietta.com. Like and follow us on Instagram, Life Talk Marietta, and like and subscribe on the HealingMindMagazine.com.
Thank you very much. We need lots of friends. We need followers. And friends are always welcome, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Follow
and
us,
let's
like
get
us.
Started now. We got the sponsors out of the way. Blame It on Jack. We all have a Jack in us and some more than others. And we're all familiar with these cute little video clips. The three old toddlers sitting on the kitchen floor got into the cake, icing still around his mouth, and pointing to the one-year-old sister in the high chair. So that's how it starts. And we all laugh, and it's cute, and we watch these movies over and over again. It's always very, very heartwarming. But as life goes on and remaining in that pattern, it's not quite as cute. So because when we lie to ourselves as we get older, you know, it can really have tremendous
detrimental effects.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. So that's what we're going to talk about. And I know you're looking at me, Norman. I know you want to start.
Sure I do. Okay. You know, it's just a matter of fact that if you can't look in the mirror and maybe admit to what you've done wrong, you can't change anything. So by blaming somebody else, you're just deflecting the fact that you had part of it. Maybe not all of it, but part of it was due to what you did, said, or chose to do. So we're never going to get anything accomplished. We're never going to fix anything because it's always mommy's fault, daddy's fault, my brother's fault, or the way I was raised, or my father was an alcoholic. Who knows what it is, but at some point in your life, you have to look in the mirror and take responsibility for the mistakes that you've made. And everybody makes mistakes.
I think there's a fear factor involved. When you are afraid to admit you do have these shortcomings, it's hard to look at yourself and
sure.
say, wow, these are my shortcomings. I don't know.
But it's
if
so
can...
much easier to blame your parents or your sister or your brother or the dog, you know, for something. It wasn't that easy to deflect to somebody else and say, well, if you didn't do that, then I wouldn't have done this. No, that's not really how it it works sometimes.
If I could go back to our upbringings now, we're just a baby boomer generation.
Yeah.
So most of the baby boomer generation were held accountable. We had to be home on time. And if we didn't, there were consequences, really true consequences. Not words, but boy, they really...
I'm still grounded.
Home by dark. Yeah. You still are. Yeah.
I'm still grounded.
Yeah. We couldn't meet our friends. We couldn't have anybody visiting us. We were really... we were punished.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, and when we lied, it was even worse.
Right.
So yeah. This is what I remember.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I stopped lying. I don't remember.
I got better at it.
I don't remember. All right. Well, how was it with you?
Well, I have to say I had a fairly easy childhood because I didn't misbehave all that much. But it's one thing when you're a kid, but at some point as you grow up, you have to start taking responsibility for your own actions. And even though it may be nice to blame somebody else for things that you've done wrong and mistakes that you've made, when it comes right down to it, up in your head, this is the person that's controlling your life and your actions. So that's the one that should be take responsibility.
You.
I remember how I was taught responsibility was I was given a list of chores, daily chores that I had to do. And if they were not done, I received punishment.
Oh, my mom was like that too. She was pretty strict. I remember one time in particular, my sister and I had made plans ahead of time to have our girlfriends meet us at 1 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. And our chore was to clean all of the upstairs. We had a two-story house. And we decided, my sister and I, that we weren't going to quite fulfill our obligation. So 1 o'clock rolled around on a Saturday afternoon, and our two girlfriends showed up. And my mother went to the door and said, Norma and Eileen will be going nowhere until they finish their chores. The two girls had to sit on the front porch. And my mother was Italian, very hospitable. Always, they were not allowed to come into the house until our chores were done. They sat on the front porch and waited us to finish. And I never did that again. I just remember feeling so embarrassed because it was my fault.
They would have called DCF on you today.
Not my mother. Yeah, but it was my fault. It wasn't my mother's fault. We did it. We tried to con my mother. We tried to slip it.
It's not nice to
not Jenny. You don't fool around with Jenny. So we stayed upstairs cleaning, and the two girls just sat on the porch and waited for us to get done. But parents today don't do stuff like that.
No, they want to be their friends. Yeah, they want to be buddies with their children instead of being... guys.
Yeah. Mentors, I mean, maybe I was upset. So big teachers. Deal, I was upset. I got over it. What was I, 13 or 4? I got over it. It didn't ruin me for the rest of my life because my mother made me stay upstairs and clean.
Well, they're making the children today very, very thin-skinned, very vulnerable to any kind of criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what they do. Look at what they do.
So mm-hmm. When you say they are really our children who are adults now, who are moms and dads. They are our adult children.
The next generation.
I'm talking about the people in school, your teachers.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid to put you straight or tell you anything because they get in trouble with the parents.
Right, yeah. But here's what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at, maybe some of us felt we were too strict. We were held to, like, on a leash, if you will. And we had to conform. We had to do exactly, and maybe we did. And deep down inside, we hated it, and we couldn't wait to leave that parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
So, and our children, they're the ones that have a different mindset, bringing up our grandchildren mm-hmm. now. That's what we're talking about now. Because we're discussing how we grew up and how we were held to, how we were taught responsibility.
And
we lived by it.
And respect.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the same. It's not the same.
No, there's no set parameters any longer. No.
So, because today, if we were to watch a video back from the 60s, how a mother or father talked to their child, you got to take on responsibility, and they're only 3 or 4 years old, we would say that they don't tick right. because, you know, that's a little bit too early. You don't talk to a child like that. You
no.
show them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I do believe there are many ways you can teach responsibility by giving them certain chores, daily chores, and bringing them into the rhythm of handling it every day and taking care of it.
It's the consequences, though, when they don't follow
That's what I'm getting at.
Yep.
But you're
told,
always going to have that kid that's going to blame.
No, you're always going to have
you're
it.
You're always
going
you
to have
that.
It's, you have to have yeah. that kind of attitude that if you do not obey me, you are the child. If you do not obey me, there will be consequences, and you must do what as you say to them. Otherwise, they're going to look at you and go, eh, you're not going to do anything anyway.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's all talk.
And I must say, within some families that I know, very good parents, great kids, but they're at 16 and 17 now, they're just starting to do different chores, and they dislike it very much. They don't understand why they have to do their own laundry now and why they do have to, you know, this, that, and the other. They're great kids, but it's very difficult for them now to actually perform that. Just
they have no hardships.
Things.
There's no hardship in their life. That's why that becomes a chore to them, because there's nothing harder than to wash your own underwear.
Yes.
Clean your room.
In the whole rhythm
room.
of the daily pattern that these kids get. They get an allowance of, you know, $8,000 a month.
They do.
You know.
They do.
When
they get a new car off the showroom floor.
Yeah.
Who had a new
when
car
they
off
go
the showroom
to dances?
Floor?
They're all entitled.
I tell you, that's a quick $800. I'm not kidding you.
Oh, yes.
That starts with doing your hair at $300.
Hair, makeup, nails.
You get
not,
a quick,
at, not at your place, though.
No, no. We're cheaper
that's
than
600,
that. Yeah, but,
600
but we'll give you an $800 job, but we won't charge
that's
you.
That's right, Norma. So it's a quick $800. I'm not kidding. I'm not
it's
exaggerating.
True. The limousine.
With the
dresses,
with
the
tan.
The tuxedos, the tan.
The tan and everything.
Tan.
And everything is the finest. So it's very, what I, the point I want to make. It's
who are
very,
we going to blame? That's what I want to know.
No, no. The point is.
Blame the parents.
It's very hard
of
for the young kids, they're 16, 17 now, to really, they question it. Why do we have to do that? They did. The parents did it for me all this time. So it's tough for them. It's very, very hard for them. It really is.
Yeah.
Mentally.
Yeah.
It's a mental thing. So, and who to blame? We're blaming the parents.
Right,
I do.
Right.
Yeah? So, we're here today discussing blame it on Jack. So, we all have a Jack in us, some more than others. And the big blaming game. That's what it's all about. So let's just say we have a person who has not learned responsibility, so they go further in life, and now they're getting married. So how does this now unfold in a partnership? Art.
Well, this is definitely gonna cause problems in a marriage, because in a marriage, you've got to take equal responsibility in making the relationship work. And if one's got a deficiency, then it's up to the other one to help that person. And you've got to work together to get things to work correctly. If one person is doing something the wrong way, then it's up to the other one to kind of guide them into the, so you're working toward the same goals.
Yeah, but that's, we're talking about if you get into a situation where love is not the basis. I mean, there are women today or men today who hook up with somebody who's got money, and they appease them until the ring gets slipped on their finger, either the man or the woman, and all of a sudden,
oh, that's deceptiveness.
Well, that's a big part of it today.
No.
Oh, I'll do it for the money. I'll do it for the
comfort,
money.
Comfort, security.
Right. But even there's that element.
Maybe that's
of,
today, but it wasn't back in my day. I mean, most people, I thought,
well, there
got
were always
married,
gold diggers, men or women, but
I thought
not
most
like
people
today.
Got married
the,
for
the,
love.
Today, everybody is, if I can't have love, I'll settle for the dollar. What do the girls say today? They say, I'm going to marry me, a rich man.
Yeah, it's true. Mm. Especially
for the guys,
especially
I can't wait
European
to get
women.
A
I hate to say that, but
woman.
European women are big on coming over to the United States.
We see it all the time on television. I believe that is not
that's
staged.
Their goal, and they're raised in Europe to do that. Their mothers are like,
the men
good
are made
girl.
So effeminate today. The men are always made to be put into an effeminate position. Watch the television. It's the woman yelling. It's the woman dictating what the man and the child... And the man is shuddering like a little fag in the corner. And how do these children look up to these kind of things? They become as their father or their mentor was. So there's a lot of societal changes that have... I mean, you can choose whatever sex you want to be today. Flip it in the morning. Hey, today yeah. I'm feminine. Tomorrow I'm going to use the men's room. You know, I mean, where are the boundaries? There are no boundaries. Who are you going to blame if there are no boundaries? And that's what they've removed from our society. That's what they're trying to remove. So that there is no blame. You're all individuals. Be who you are. Feel proud of who you are. No matter what you do. There's no standard anymore. They can't look to the parents. Because the parents want to be their friends. My father told me, I'm not your friend.
They look to their parents for money.
I look to my father.
Yeah.
And he said to me, hey, I'm not your friend. Mm-hmm. I'm here to teach you how to survive mm-hmm. in this world.
Or how to be a man.
Well, to survive, yeah. whether you want to yeah. be whatever you want to be.
Yeah.
But today it's like, I mean, I went to school with kids whose daddies were multi-millionaires and they want to be their buddy. Yeah, don't worry. I got money. We'll take care of you. No, no problem. No respect for the father. No respect for the
relationship. Well, that's another thing, too. I think that there's a lot of women that don't respect their husbands. And I hate to bring this up, but
if you had not done it, I would have.
Okay.
Well, you already went
that.
There. Yeah. I told you. The guy shudders in the corner every media.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. But the same goes the other way around, too.
There are women that absolutely. Do not respect their husbands. So when their kids are growing up, they get this from their
mother.
But
that's
mother.
What I just
they
said.
Get
the woman is the one yelling at
from
the
their
husband
mother
or
that
the kid,
daddy
you know?
Is not all he's supposed to be. And, you know, it's really,
yeah, but that's
you
what
should
I'm saying.
Never
that's what
turn,
I just said.
A man shouldn't turn children against their mother for any reason. And a woman should never turn their kids against their father.
They use them as pawns.
Right, for
people
any reason.
People are having
reason.
Children
exactly.
for the
any
wrong reason,
reason yeah.
today. They
right.
have children
but also,
for the wrong
they do.
Reason.
But also
women do.
We repeat
what we experienced
in our parents' mm-hmm. home.
But so not we're, only that, the media, everything is...
You're totally right. But I just want to say something. I just want to do a little prep work. So we're repeating. We're in the cycle of generational repetition. That's what it's called. Unless we stop, unless we start working on ourselves, then we realize what didn't we like about our parents' home, about the father and mother? Because you become your father and mother. Mm-hmm. Unless you become... unless you really work on yourself over time in your life, and then you have a chance to get out of that cycle. Because I married my father, who I had nothing in common with, who I loved, but I had nothing in common with him. I don't like domineering people, especially that keep you under the thumb mm-hmm. and will never let you mm-hmm. come up for air.
But that's who you married, you said.
Just a minute, yes.
Not consciously. Married
right,
him.
Right, because you feel very good with those.
She was comfortable.
Well, you're in a pattern. You're comfortable
well, because
in that
her father
pattern.
Was that way when she met this guy. She was comfortable with
exactly.
him.
Exactly.
That's what that is. So you don't consciously make that choice.
Right, and when you grow up with love hate, you have this.
No, I think you do make it consciously.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
you don't.
You have two suitors. You have one who's domineering like you were raised. Then you have the other man who's put you on a pedestal and you can't stand him because that is a foreign idea to you. But this, with your father domineering you, this man down, oh, I feel comfortable. I know how to handle that.
You feel comfortable. It's a comfort zone.
Yes.
It's a comfort exactly. zone. That doesn't mean it's going to fly. And it didn't
fly. Well, it doesn't fly.
And it didn't fly because the two of us, we're both great people, but we were in the boxing ring.
Yeah, every time.
Every single day.
Yeah, that's
every single day.
Yeah.
And what the other one, when the other one, I was just like his mother too. You know, very domineering, you have to do and all, you know, all this. So we were perfect for just a short period of time.
Yeah.
till he realized,
yeah,
hey, wait a minute, something isn't right. We're constantly on the battlefield, and it's not getting better either. So I learned that even though I love my father, this hate love-hate relationship, he's not a mate for me. And this is when I started my own journey to really understand living life, what I like and who I am and so forth.
But you did it not blaming your father.
No.
You have to stop blaming.
I never blamed him. I just recognized.
Yes, you have to stop blaming the father for what you did 20 years later.
I never did.
Because he was who he was. Nobody's perfect.
Exactly, Norma. And I never even got a chance to blame. I just kept searching for the answer.
Yeah.
Why is this and how come it didn't work? And it took me 15 years to have answers for all of this. So I love them very much. But they're not, they don't fit. We don't fit together. So the best thing is in life, you have to have a single journey and be by yourself and live life and experiences and experience it and work and start growing.
But is that marriage then?
No, you're single. You're on your own.
Well, so you say we shouldn't get married then. Is that what you're
no,
saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying. So in order...
Getting married young is tough, though.
I got married very young.
So did I. It was
well,
a teenager.
It's easier when you're young to compromise. As you get older,
what compromise?
You become more
There's no compromise.
You had your ideal. You compromised with
no,
what you
I
dealt with
a,
when
no,
you were married
I,
young.
No, I didn't. I didn't compromise. There was no compromising. It was his way. He was the husband, and I did what I was expected to do. And
that's called compromise.
Wait
if you don't want to do.
No, that's not a compromise.
Did you want to do what you were told
it
to do?
It was a pattern
no.
from the very
well, then that's
from
compromise.
The previous. From the
otherwise, you tell him to get the hell out.
I was
wait
nine,
a minute.
No, I was
we
19
weren't there
years
yet.
Old.
We
I
were
was 19 years old.
We weren't there yet because mm-mm. our mother and father generation. Yeah, the husband was in charge, the
mm-hmm.
wife did whatever. Now, it was passed on to our generation. You must have a husband,
mm-hmm.
otherwise you're not a fulfilled
woman.
Being without a husband and wife, and the wife had to take care of the husband and take care of the home and bear children.
Mm-hmm.
That was your role.
Mm-hmm.
And they made it sound like it was forever. So then,
well, marriage is forever.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah, right, sure.
Yeah.
That's what it made
well,
it.
Well, that's
at that
your,
time.
You know, that's your dream. That's what you hope for.
They
but...
were together 50 years. My parents, 42 years. So they're, that, our parents' generation, they were together for whatever reason. We don't want to even get into it. So, till I found out, now I have a husband. Now this is okay. I fulfilled that dream, so I'm okay. Now you have to figure out how you match every day, how you get along and all of this. And you have no experience. You don't go to school for that.
No.
Well, you're programmed since you're a little girl
yeah.
to grow up and meet your Prince Charming.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And I love you
yeah.
just the way you are until
uh-huh.
you put the ring on and then everything changes for the guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
But see, for me, my dad gave me unconditional love. I had a mother and father that loved each other, and we saw the love. We
same
saw
in my
the,
family.
Right? I saw the hugging. I saw the kissing. I heard the in the walls.
This
you know what I mean?
You,
you did?
Yes, I did. When I was a teenager,
this is a
normal
story.
This is a normal story. I always slept in the. My sister and I always shared a bedroom because we had a 3-bedroom house. My mother and father had a bedroom, not twin beds, ever twin beds. My sister and I shared a bedroom, and my brother had his room. I would remember as a teenager, not as a little kid, but as a teenager, going to bed at night and listening to my parents.
Ooh la la.
Yeah.
Da, da, da,
in the
da,
cutest da. Way. I didn't realize it then, but I remember hearing my mother giggle. I remember my father.
Giggling?
Well, you know, he was, I could just. And my sister and I would get very quiet because we knew we were listening to something very special. And it
mom's
wasn't,
almost there.
It wasn't
you're
a,
quiet, you're almost there.
It wasn't a sexual
we didn't
thing
know
in my
that
head. It wasn't
time.
Like I was
no.
listening.
This is getting really.
It was just that I knew my parents loved. I just knew it. I knew they loved each other. I knew my mother was jealous of my father. All the cute things that you expect.
Why was she jealous of the father?
She just was. She was jealous of my father always because he was cute and he was friendly and You know, my mother, she wasn't bad jealous. She wasn't bad jealous.
Your sister was jealous?
My mother was always jealous of my father.
How so?
Because my father was very outgoing, and my mother was not so outgoing. She was Italian, but she was very, very rigid compared to my father. He was the golfer, the man who ran
everybody's
all the,
darling.
Yeah, he was yeah, Tony. Everyone loved Tony.
Hey, Tony.
And it's,
I got it.
Yeah, hey, Tony. So, you know, it was the same thing when he passed away at the wake. There was about 20 women that came in to tell my mother how wonderful her husband was because they were on a golf tournament league and my father ran the league when he retired. And it was a strictly a woman's
smart
league.
Man. Mm.
So my mother actually was like overwhelmed at the wake because so many women came up to her to tell her how wonderful my father was.
And she was ready to burst.
She was on tranquilizers. Are you kidding me?
Nice, I'm going to kill him.
Every woman, she took another tranquilizer, yeah. You know.
See, and this is, I get it. I totally get it now. Him yeah. very outgoing. And
very
being,
outgoing.
Being loved by everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, but he loved my mother. He loved my mother. But, you know, it was I really didn't see that in my life. And so my father, to me, showed me unconditional love. Mm-hmm. He never spoiled us. He didn't have the money to spoil us, but he spoiled us with love. And I had that from my father. So I expected that all men were like that. Oh. And all men don't give you unconditional love. So at 19 years old, you think you're in this fairy tale. And wow, you found Prince Charming. And life
was... Well, you wanted to marry somebody just like that.
I wanted to, and I wanted
Dad.
To have...
Yeah.
Of course I did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he wasn't. But that's not his fault or my fault. I mean, I didn't know that at 19.
Fault.
He was 21. I was 19. So I didn't think he was who he was. He maybe didn't think who I was what I was. But when you're 19 years old, you don't even know who you are yet.
No.
I just can't imagine one of my kids getting married at 19 years old. But I did. And then I became a mother within
that was the norm.
2 years.
That was the social
yeah.
norm.
It was. But
and
it's,
norms are created by the media.
It's like growing up overnight, though. It's like you have no time to be somebody's daughter. I was somebody's daughter living in my parents' home. And then at 19, I was somebody's wife. And then a year later, pregnant. And I was somebody's mother
but that's
ex- at
22. That was what you were expected to do. That was the social norm.
Yes.
Now they've
yes.
broken down
the social
norm.
But it forces you to grow
norm.
Up. It forces
it
you to grow up.
Has nothing to do with that. Nothing to no. do with that. A social norm dictates how you're going to be at any particular time in the timeline that there is.
Yeah.
Now, there are no social
well, now,
norms.
No. And now they're 53 and they're living with their parents.
Okay, so now we're
They're
gonna,
still at home in the family home living with parents in
now
their 50s.
Now the wake-up call is, how did you, since you recognized, oh, that person I married is not like my father, that's a wake-up call. So how did you deal with that? How going forward?
Three
you don't have
later,
to talk
for
no, you don't have to talk about it if you don't
yeah,
want to.
Yeah, no,
moment,
it's just,
you know?
It's, how did I deal with it? Well, my personality was that I didn't deal with it. Mm-hmm. I did what I was supposed to do. I raised my 4 kids. I wanted things that I didn't dare ask for. And I don't mean material things. I always loved what I did for a living. I wasn't allowed to go to work. Why couldn't I go to work a couple of days a week? I didn't understand it. Why couldn't I get out and be, you know, to me, I could be a better mother if I worked. But no, you have to stay home. You have to be with the kids. So I did it. And I did it. I just,
well,
I don't know what the word is. Did I
give
in? Did I just?
With the parent. Today, parents have children for the wrong reasons. They're still living within the social expectation of having children. Only the mother is working 12 hours a day. The father's working 12 hours a day. They're kept with nannies. They're kept with the daycare. The children never know the parents.
Question. Is it possible, because it certainly happened to me when we married the husband, that we saw a little bit, there were a few signs of how our father was. Just a few signs, not the total picture, but just a few signs, what our father used to do. So that's how what happened to me, because we're, the bottom line is we're learning something. We're on an emotional journey. Uh-huh. So we marry a person. So, okay, we're supposed to function, but we're also supposed to learn something. And I remember my first husband, I've only been married twice. My first husband then resembled with some of the things like my father.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And they made you comfortable.
They made me rebel. They made me...
But you married him.
You don't see that, certainly not at that time when you're 18, 17. You see nothing.
Did you have a marriage that was set up, or did you say,
when you're 17, romantic, you pick a different person. You go by sex appeal, you go by who knows
what. I'm just going by what you said. You saw a few things in them.
No, as you were married, as you were living your life with that person,
by,
you
like
saw,
song.
You recognized certain behavior patterns that reminded me of my father.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time.
So what attracts you first? The way they look?
Of course.
Or the way they treat you?
Well, you're a teenager. What do you think attracts you? Chemistry.
As a teenager,
it's all about hormones.
As a teenager, what's
what
important
do you think
to you?
You know
what's
looks? A, looks?
You know what's
chemistry?
Looks.
You know, and I don't know. You just, it's not what you what attracts
look,
you at my age.
Or to get out of the house,
50
to get
years
out of your
old,
parents' house.
Maybe, maybe.
There's several factors.
Yes, absolutely.
I was just going to get...
To be able to
validation
be...
Validation of the opposite sex is the bottom line.
Exactly.
And people are still suffering. I don't care if they're 70, 80, or 90. They're still suffering from the same thing if they haven't learned anything in their life.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're constantly hunting after that validation of the opposite sex.
Well,
what are you, crazy?
Well,
yes.
It really
exactly
is.
Absolutely.
I've learned that.
Absolutely.
And I was one of them.
Yes.
I, in my early years, like 20, 30, I would have the biggest argument with you if you had said that, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't know that. Because one thing about me, I have to say, when somebody really points something out that I haven't really looked, haven't even thought of, I do listen to it, you know?
But can I say something about blaming other people?
Yeah.
There was a situation in my marriage where things went bad and there was a third party involved or whatever. And instead of blaming my husband, my ex-husband, and blaming the other woman, oddly enough, because I was so young, I blamed myself. And I still...
How old were you? I mean...
I don't remember the first time it happened. Maybe it was in my 20s, right after my daughter was born, 27, 28, 30-ish. I blamed myself. Now, I would never blame myself today if a man had betrayed me that way. I would never blame myself. I would say, shame on him. Shame on him because he didn't value me. But I blamed myself back then. And I don't know why. I did. I took it so internally that I wasn't good enough.
Because your father gave you unconditional
love.
Right,
exactly.
But wait a minute. Also, you were taught responsibility.
He did. And I never turned around and said, it's his fault. It's the other woman's fault. I never did that. I internalized it. And when I looked in the mirror, it was like, what did I do wrong?
Question.
Why did this feel? What did I do wrong that made it feel?
I bet you,
why did he go to somebody else?
I bet you anything, as we're sitting here in the studio, when something goes wrong in our lives, even now at our age, I know that. The first thing we do when something goes wrong, we say to ourselves, what did I do wrong?
Right.
Well, no, in general,
That's okay if it's just an argument or a disagreement. That's okay to do that because you should think about what you said that might have hurt another person. I should care about his feelings. You should care about mine. But infidelity is not... This is not that. Infidelity is way past an argument or a disagreement or hurting someone's feelings. I believe that if you do or say something that you know might upset somebody, then you should say, have I done something wrong, honey, to hurt your feelings? Have I said something wrong? That's all like 100% great.
Mm-hmm.
But infidelity is not something that you sit down and you say,
absolutely. Unless you are a stupid, submissive woman.
Well,
yeah.
This is where I went.
I'm not saying you.
Or the man.
Anybody.
Or the man.
Sexes.
Or the
so,
man.
A submissive, not too smart individual would say something like that.
Yeah, well,
and that you're not.
Not that, now.
No, really.
Sounds like you've come a long
way.
I've come a long way.
Did not now, something? I'm not.
Well, think about the real submissive people.
Like and follow us on Facebook.
That's right. And
with Marietta Camerara.
Yeah, Camerara.
You're listening to Blame It on Jack. And we all have Jacks in us, and some more than others. The big blaming game. And it's all about learning who we are, how we connect with people. And the bottom line is, if we take responsibility, we just have a better chance of developing our own self.
Right.
You know, and that's...
How do we not learn to blame somebody else?
Yes. Look at all... and let's go into marriages purposely now, what comes on, you know, to mind.
You know what I liked about my daughter-in-law one night? My son and her were having a disagreement, and they were at my house. He had done something, which I still today don't know what it was. Said or did something that upset my daughter-in-law, who I love to death. I think I gave birth to her in some other life. But anyway, they were having a disagreement.
No more for you.
They had a disagreement. But I love the way she handled the disagreement. And I want to share it with everybody. Because they were sitting on my couch. I had a condo then. And my daughter-in-law said quietly to my son, "You know, Tony, we need to talk about what you said or did yesterday. I'm very upset." And he said, "What about, Ann? What about? What do you mean?" He got very defensive immediately. Mm-hmm. And she said, "Well, you know what you did. And you know what upset me. You know what you did." And he said, "Well, you know, Ann." And he started getting a little cocky. And he said, "Well, you know, Ann, how about the time you did this?" Now, I wasn't...
I remember that,
He
yes.
went directly to, "How about when you did this? How mm-hmm. about when you did that?" You know how my daughter-in-law handled it? And she taught me a lesson. My daughter-in-law taught me a lesson. I never thought to... She turned around to my son and she said, "Tony, we'll talk about me tomorrow night."
I love it.
"We are talking about you tonight."
I love it.
"We can talk tomorrow night all about me. Yeah. You want to tell me all the things that upset you about me? Mm-hmm. Tomorrow night we have a date. But tonight it's about you."
How did he end it?
That man shut right up. She shut him down like you wouldn't believe. I was so proud of her. This was my son. But you know what? They're still married. And you know why? Because she knows how to handle him.
But I think
with love, she handled him. It wasn't sarcastic. It wasn't snotty. She didn't insult him. She just said, "Tonight, it's about you."
But see, the women today have bigger egos than probably they had in the past. Well, maybe they have the same egos, but they're more likely to express that ego against a man who really doesn't stand a chance against a woman who knows how to handle the man. I mean... I take my parents, for example. When my father laid his fist down and said, "That's it," my mother, I don't know what she did, but she knew how to...
She knew how to handle him.
And we still did whatever she wanted.
Yeah.
And my father felt like the king, we're doing what I wanted to do anyway.
For some reason, he thought he won, and he really didn't.
But women have that, that's a real gift.
It's a gift. Yeah, it is a gift.
Well, they're teaching women...
I do
women
that to Art every weekend.
Is it called emotional intelligence? Is that called emotional intelligence?
No, I think women have a more nurturing quality about them, and, you know, they're going to say out there, "Oh, you know, that's not true, blah, blah." But women do.
It's not what you say. It's how you deliver it.
Exactly.
That is, if only the whole world could understand that. It's not what you say to somebody. It's how you deliver it to them. Mm-hmm. I could say the exact same thing to my husband that you said to your husband, but I could say it in a way...
Leave them their honor. Leave them their dignity, and they will do whatever you want.
It's a conversation. You're having a battle. You and I are saying the same thing. You're fighting over here, and him and I are going to have cocktails after.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, of course, we both had the same issue,
but mine ended up way better than yours because I delivered it differently.
Absolutely.
I delivered it differently.
Absolutely.
And I don't think men have a chance against women who really
know how to deliver the message.
What you're talking about.
Right.
Leave the other person a chance to say
Yeah, respect them. You know, listen to them. You want them to listen to you, you got to listen to them. It can't be all about you. You can't talk over everybody all the time.
But the perception of respect and is again, a personal consideration. And a woman looks at things different than a man.
Absolutely.
So she may absolutely not be affected. When you say hello to a woman, God knows what she's thinking. You know, I mean hello, and she's thinking, oh, geez, this guy wants to get me in the sack.
No, I don't think that.
No, I don't think that either.
Well, this is an old adadage. That's an old adage.
Yeah,
but
I don't think that at all.
But
yeah, I think
when you say hello
way
to a woman as a man, they think of it something different.
Maybe yeah. When I was 20, I said, oh, you say hello. Yeah.
No, it's
when you know when you weren't.
I'm
that
glad
smart.
The audience can't see it.
I know.
Right. But here's I want to spin it a little further on the example you just gave, Norma, with your son. How many people have different disagreements, and then they bring out. But you used to do this, and you used to do that.
You
so
used to do
every
this,
time
you
there
do
is
this.
A disagreement. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They bring up the past, mm-hmm. a track record.
Yeah.
Now,
yes.
Everybody has...
Like they're
has,
keeping score.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Art, have you ever, if you wouldn't mind stepping up and talking about that, have you experienced that in your life too? Have you held a scorecard?
Or had somebody held a scorecard on you? More likely.
Well, that's hard to say. I guess having been in several relationships, somebody...
How many are... How many? No, I'm sorry. I'm just making light of it.
We
go
can't,
ahead.
We can't put this
Jeez,
on...
Jeez, don't get her started,
we can't
Charlie,
put this
please.
On get
her. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Now, wait a minute. Now we're getting into a line of questioning. Okay.
Okay,
back,
go ahead.
Back to
reality.
Maybe lose my train
okay.
of thought.
The scorecard.
The scorecard is,
a lot of people.
That happen to, yeah.
A lot of people are on that trend. It passes on from generation to generation. It's a scorecard, keeping scores.
So you have ever had anybody do that to you, kept score, do you think?
I don't think there's anybody that, well, they may have been doing it, but not making it known to me.
Tit for tat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about the tit for tat.
I'm sure there
tit for tat's a big thing.
It is. You're right. I remember tit for tat. If you do that to me,
tits and tats, those are big things.
Tits and tits.
When I was married, I don't think it occurred. But
yeah.
Later on, I think it did.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's...
I remember pointing out a lot of things that I saw in the person. I said it very bluntly to the person, direct.
Uh-huh.
And
did you care about that person, or did you just...
No, I did care about
that
person.
Oh, okay, so you were honest with them.
But I, you know, it's almost like you boast yourself when you, you know, in an argument, you what you see and how they are, and, you know, it's just... You know, all of this stuff, it's just so...
It's emotional.
It's emotional, but
relationships,
you know,
are emotional.
When you have lived your life on your own for 20, 25 years, you're pretty well, you know, educated, meaning emotionally. You know pretty much what you want and what you don't want. But you don't know that when you first start out in life. You don't know. You haven't had a chance to get to know yourself.
You don't know Jack.
No, you don't know Jack. You learn about Jack, though, later.
Yeah.
So all of this stuff, all of this garbage stuff,
too late.
All of these weeds, all of these weeds doesn't belong to the opposite partner. We come together for love and sharing love, but no, we do weed whacking, you know, this kind of stuff over time, and it's hurtful. And
it
then
is.
We split, and we're
well, the value system is different.
Yeah.
In the past, it was love. Now, I think it's driven by monetary success.
I think it was the same.
Comforts.
I think it was the same even in the 60s.
Yeah, it was free love in the 60s. Women didn't want much, but they were happy to.
I was having babies in the 60s. Lots of them.
Well, a lot of people were just having practice making babies in the 60s.
Yeah, but you wonder how...
No commitment either.
How far did that free love stuff go?
Not very
far.
That wasn't
a...
Went all through the 70s. I was part of that.
I bet you were. That's
oh,
why
yeah,
you're
I
so
was
shallow.
Giving free love away as often as I could...
That's why he's so shallow.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
You didn't really form any...
Any lasting
relationships
well,
at
you're
all.
Giving it away to everybody.
Exactly. I was such a giver.
Yeah. Anybody?
They said I was a giver to a fault.
Can someone call in and just tell us a little bit about Richard?
Well, you still haven't changed.
No, he's
exactly.
Still,
no,
he's
I
still giving
changed.
It away.
I'm still shallow. I'm still trying to give it away.
I'm actually saving myself for marriage.
Are you?
Yes.
Artie, you heard this on the air now. This is recorded.
We'll definitely be there, let me tell you.
I'm glad to hear that.
We'll definitely, and don't wait too long,
no.
because we don't know
no,
how
we
long
don't
we really
time
have.
We have left.
No, it's true. I think we should do it right away. I think I have a certificate here in my drawer.
That's right,
yeah.
The good Reverend
yeah.
Marietta.
Yes. It's all official.
I like that.
Yeah, it's all official.
It's official.
Yes. You know, so, but anyway. So, you're listening to Life Talk with Marietta, and here in the studio, my good friend and co-host, Norma Giannatasio.
Giannatasio.
Art Cool, he is a wonderful writer.
Art Cool.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful writer in the Healing Mind Magazine monthly. So is Norma. Wonderful poem writer.
Thank you.
And,
Hickory Dickory Duck. We got love and subscribe, like and subscribe on the healingmindmagazine.com.
Thank you.
Like and follow us on Instagram, Life Talk Marietta.
Yes, and on Facebook, it is marietta.camera. So we should have all these different accounts. Who can really handle it daily with all the postings? I can't, so it's tough to keep up. You need two people to do all of this daily. But anyway, it's not, we're life experienced, we have paid our dues, we like to talk about all of this to give one or the other something to really think about and maybe to change something, but definitely I don't want to be together with somebody who blames all the time. But then we have another 10 minutes left. I do want to talk about how we deal with ourselves and how we look at ourselves and what excuses we make. Because, okay, why did I drive so fast? Why did I do this? Why did I do that? We make excuses for ourselves. Now, Rich.
Don't start with me.
No, why not?
No, because I don't drive too fast. I'm a very safe
this
driver.
This isn't a confessional.
I know. Gee, I'm going to go with it myself.
Well, I think just to keep it on the lighter note and not a confession booth here, confession studio, we all make some excuses. Let's say what we should do, like exercise. And I have to say I'm a big... that's when self-talk comes in. Oh, it's either too dark, it's too light, it's too hot, it's too cold. Where I pay dues to the fitness center, which is 2 minutes from here, and I'm not going.
But they don't make Artie's pina coladas.
No, I know.
That's right.
I know.
That's right.
Know.
If they made Art's pina coladas,
what I'm saying
she would
is,
go. Every
day.
We
that's
lie
it.
To ourselves too. This is what I'm saying. So. Nobody is exempt of it. We don't need to confess anything here tonight. We're just, you know, we're all human beings, but we're just trying to raise a little bit of awareness. But this is just something. The bottom line is I'm always for changes, but certain areas I feel too lazy. I feel too comfortable. And okay, what can I say? So I think it has something to do with the weight in that category with me. And maybe some other areas too, but I like to not. I'm aware of when I lie to myself. I can't give an example right now. I really can't.
Do you don't lie to yourself? You don't seem like that kind of person.
I think
I don't
I
even think you white lie. I don't think
no
you
no
make
no.
White lie.
I think I lie to myself in regards to I set out with the fitness center and I don't do it. I think that's lying.
Well, that was motivational. That's
I think that's where I'm not true to myself.
Yeah. I don't know that
everything
that's
else.
Well,
I
have,
I
you
can't,
have to have a purpose for it. Yeah. If you don't have a purpose for going, if you say I'm happy with myself,
Well, she's not. No, she's not making it a priority. That's what.
Yeah, it's the comfort.
It's just but it's not a lie. It's the comfort and sitting in the chair. It's just not making it a priority.
You know, so it's it's stupidity. But that's something. Yeah, I would say. Anything else? No. I know when I'm good. I know when I'm bad. I just know it. You know, and
well, we all have that in us when we're good and when we're bad. We have that.
As long as we're very good and when we're bad, we're very even bad.
Better. we're even better.
When you're bad, you're good. And then when you're good, you're good.
When you're bad, you're very bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Rich, and Art and Roma, to wrap this up, because for today, I think we were able to give some thoughts to our listeners. How would you wrap this up, Rich?
I guess, along the same theme, be true to yourself as best you can. I mean, we're not going to cure the world's problems in an hour.
Yeah, but I just want to say one thing. You just hit something. I was talking to a person on the phone today. And all his life, he didn't achieve what he was thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost. He put on a lot of weight, and somehow he always wanted to be a celebrity. He wanted to be seen as a celebrity. He was on Merv Griffin's show at age 11. I've never met this man, but I talked to him on the phone today. Mm. So he's always thought out the limelight. And somehow it just never really
happened.
Yeah. So now he's 50. I did ask for his age. He's 53. He said he was also an instructor at one time, a karate instructor at, 350 pounds. He said, thinking back, I let my students down, even my own children. They were laughing at me when I told them that what I wanted to do till I lost the first 100 pounds. And now I lost another 150 pounds. And you know what really saves me and where I'm starting to get recognition from people? I dance. And I do a dance like Michael Jackson, the moonwalk.
Oh.
Yes. And everybody was just in awe when they saw him. And that gave him so much confidence. I said, what do you do for a living now? What do you do? He said, well, I work with trees. I take down trees. I guess he works. He has his
arborist.
Own business. Yeah,
he's a tree surgeon.
Yeah, and he's so proud of himself about his weight loss. Number one, he's going for an audition to America Has Talent next week. He said,
"Oh, wow."
Yeah. So, and again,
that side story should get him on the show right away. Anyway,
absolutely.
Yeah. So what I what I'm saying, and he also shared how he was raised and how he was stuck all his life. And this is the key thing that he said today, and this fits right into our program. He said, when I started being truthful with myself, that's when things happened.
Mm-hmm.
And since I had done a little bit of research on blaming and this, because you don't think about this every single day, mm-hmm. it just really hit me. It really hit me, and I said, this is so true. And it's really about when we have blockages all around us, being truthful to ourselves, what doesn't work. And I'm working on that as well.
That's a curious thing, Marietta, because we do build our own walls around blockages, if you will, around ourselves. And when we start to knock them down, it's when we can receive maybe
more joy.
Life
changes. Life definitely changes when you stop putting the walls up.
I was very impressed with him, but I also, and I told him, I said, I read voices. And I read in your voice that you've lived as a victim pretty much all your life. Mm-hmm. And I also sense a street smartness as well as a naivete. So it was a mixture of everything. And right now, he's so proud of his, he would be desired with his dance. Mm-hmm. And he said, dancing has helped me over many emotional hurdles. But he needs that recognition from people so badly, like everybody. Like everybody.
Not like everybody, I mean, different level.
No,
I mean celebrity.
Let me say something. I like to be recognized for my work, that I have something that
that's
I can give.
That's recognized for your work, but you can't be insecure about who you are.
That's very good.
That's two different things. You want to be recognized for your work, you should be. Everyone should be.
Right.
But not for who you are.
And paid for it.
You need to like yourself, regardless of who likes you. You need to like yourself.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter
no,
what
I
people
know.
Say about you.
Well, that's not her
yeah,
point.
But the far is recognized for work, absolutely.
No.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to be recognized for...
Yeah, but does he like himself?
I don't know. It sounds like he has other issues. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it's
just
like a whole garden of,
right,
of different...
Right, it sounds like he's learning to like himself,
yes,
which he's never done
it's
before.
It's a long journey.
Right.
It's a long journey.
Yeah.
And that's something... And a person like that, I certainly can't help him because he needs to do this journey on his
own.
Yeah. Simply because... The more he focuses in on doing accomplishments for himself, the quicker he grows. So another.
Well, there are guides for that too. I mean,
yes, but
you don't
I couldn't
just flounder
no,
around
because,
out there.
No. Because a person like that, they flip flop. Since they don't have the 2 feet on the ground, they flip flop on you. So, it's best for a person like that that came out much later in life that they do their own journey. And their own accomplishments, and at their own speed.
But this is a special case also.
Yes.
This is a child star that was on Merv Griffin at the age of 11. Now, what they instill in these kids, you are the best.
Mm-hmm.
You are fantastic. We love you. There's nobody out there like you. We're going to make you
a
star.
I don't think he was even a star. He was close to it.
But that's what they're telling
you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to be a star.
His future,
and you keep this.
His future
but then
didn't
he grew
turn out
up,
to be
and he grew ugly or
yeah,
whatever. They
right
didn't
out
want him.
Yeah. Right.
They said, no, this isn't
yeah
the look we
yeah
want anymore. Boom, pull
yeah
the rug right
yeah
out from
also
under
I just want
him
to point out...
And
then,
who has security at that age?
And that, to wrap it up, you we're probably saying the same thing. People in general have trouble with rejection. People in general, that's just the way
oh
it is
definitely
in everyday life. Now, take a person like him, like this gentleman. Very, very hard. He's going through, you know, up and down the roller coaster,
mm-hmm,
and there is no... He has no armor, no backing, no...
No stability.
Stability with rejection. So, but that can all be built. But unfortunately, I can't help him because I already know that where he's at right now, he needs to do this all himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he's fine. Because he'll flip on you at any given time. And mm-hmm that I want to avoid. That's just the way it is. It's recognized.
Well, look at our friend across the water.
What
the pond.
The pond. What's
pond
his name there?
Jesse?
From the tulip.
Whatever. Oh, the tulip land.
Oh,
okay.
Amsterdam.
Yeah, yeah. He,
yeah.
Didn't he do that to us? I believe he was flippant.
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 Very flippant, yes.
Very flippant.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, and he's on a big ego.
Well, he's on an ego trip.
He's
yeah
on a very big
yeah
ego
trip. He's
on
an
trip
ego trip.
And one thing that I did say...
Yeah, he's young. He's young.
He's not that young.
Norma, I wouldn't make that...
Let's not make excuses anymore.
Let's not blame Jack.
I said...
Let's not pass Jack.
No.
Yeah.
No. When I said, this person has a big... what is it?
Schwanzstucker?
No.
Nine ego.
No.
Oh. Well, that's all I got.
I look for what a person has, and he has a big, what is it?
They're still laughing out there in the radio.
That's not
I
what
know.
I'm
keeping it all inside right now.
No, I'm talking about gifts. I'm not talking about self display. I'm talking about gift, and if you use it, he has no experience, no life experience. Right now, it's all about him. But when it's no longer about him, he could do a lot for human beings because he has a big influence power. And when you use it to really help people, you're wonderful. Right now, he doesn't have it. Maybe he will never have it. Maybe it will never flip. Maybe it will never flip.
He has to be motivated in that direction.
Right. So that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying, and that's good enough for me. So I want to thank you for tuning in to Life Talk with Marietta. Thank you, Norma Giannotazio, Art Cool. Dr. Rich, as always,
Danke.
You said more than
Would you
like
ever said
and
before?
More than necessary.
Marietta Kammerer.
Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.